in the blink of an eye. This is already the third Sunday of 2026. So don't blink too much or we will be singing Christmas carols again. Joy to the World and Silent Night and all those beautiful Christmas carols. Or we may be blowing one more candles on our birthday cake. So on behalf of the church management, the board of management, the staff of Calvary Baptist Church, we'd like to wish all of you a blessed new year. You know, every new year, especially the beginning of the year, we are always reminded of a fresh start or a second chance. Was last year a tough one for you at work? Did you lose your job? Did someone in your family that you love died? Is an important relationship in trouble? Is your company in financial difficulties, in debt? Are you worried about your child's education? Are you worried about your parents' health or your own health? Well, brothers and sisters, friends, you are not alone. It's not wrong to lament over all these losses and our disappointment. Yes, we may all be sad. We may all be hurt. We may all be frustrated. But it is wrong to spend the rest of our lives looking over our shoulder to the past instead of lifting our eyes and looking forward to the future. No, and with that, I'd like us to see the turning of the calendar to a new year as a big deal for every one of us, no matter who you are, even Christian and non-Christian. Don't you like the idea of a clean page? To have a chance to start anew. Now, I'm not suggesting that you make a long, long list of New Year resolution. In fact, I would advise it. Long lists of resolution are actually intimidating and frustrating. And most of the resolution are too vague. For example, to have less stress. To save more money, to be more helpful at home, to eat less carbohydrate, less noodle, or to stop gambling. And most of the spiritual resolution are mostly the same too. To give our tithes and offering, to go for baptism, to bring one more people, one in the family to come to church or to go to a mission trip. No, and the notion of pledging to do something for 365 days is tough on many honest people about how often they fail to keep the resolution. So year in and year out, they keep having the same resolution to have less stress, to save more money, to be more helpful at home, and to eat less carbohydrate, to stop gambling, to give my tithes, to be baptized, to bring one friend to church, and to go on a mission trip. Perhaps there is a better way. Remember the advice that Jesus gave about just taking care of today and not biting off tomorrow's trouble. Each day had enough trouble of its own. And Jesus said it in Matthew chapter 6, 34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day had enough trouble of its own. So this new year, 2026, is God give to us, to every one of us, with His presence and with a one day at a time attitude, prayerfully create a new things that will come out of the waste and void chaos of the past. And hopefully life becomes a fresh for every one of us every morning. So today in the first message of the year 2026 here at Desa Park City, I would like to give to you a question, and I'd like you to answer this question honestly. What does God want you to do? Lord, what has God been asking you to do lately? Or to be more specifically, What is God asking you to do this year? You know, this morning in the Mandarin service, I spoke, yes, I actually preach in tongues. I actually don't know Mandarin at all. And yet I preached a 30-minute sermon in Mandarin. And it took me 6 months to prepare that one sermon. And after that sermon, I think they wouldn't want me to come back to preach in Mandarin again. The topic that I preached in the Mandarin service this morning was 最近神要叫你做什么? Which actually means, what has God been asking you to do lately? So today I want to ask the same question. I want to ask you, what has God been asking you to do lately? I'm not asking you about 10 years ago. I'm not asking you about 3 years ago. I'm asking, what has God been asking you to do lately? Or in this new year, what is God asking you to do? I know that many of you, your boss or your manager may ask you or have been telling you to do this or to do that. And some of you, your wife have been telling you to do this thing, don't eat too much, do some exercise and lose weight, help the children to study and don't look at girls, right? And some husband have been telling their wife, please don't be too long-winded. Can you please give me some breathing space? No husband anymore, you want me to add? You better do so now. After I step down, no more. Okay? Now listen carefully. I do not want to know all these things. What I want to know is, what has God been asking you to do lately? You come to church every Sunday. Maybe some of you, you attend prayer meeting, you read your Bible daily, you give your offering, but some of you still do not know what God has been asking you to do lately. Yes or no? 是还不是? Do you know? No. Our life is full of decision making. For example, what do I want to do when I grow up? Or at the end of this year, during Christmas Day or Easter Sunday, do I plan to get baptized? You know, there are so many questions. Go or don't go. Do or don't do. Quit the job or not quit the job. And some are simple questions. Some are silly questions. Now, let me just give you two illustration. The first illustration is that when you go shopping to buy things for the house, and then your neighbor saw you and asked you, why are you going shopping? You know, that's a crazy question. I go shopping because there's nothing left at home to eat, not because I am too free with nothing to do. And then the second illustration is that when you are eating durian, your friend asks you, why do you like to eat durian? Well, I really thank God. In the Mandarin service, a sister bought 3 packets of durian, I think. It's up on the fridge. Don't go up to the third floor. The fridge durian is reserved for Pastor John. No, people really ask you, why do you like to eat durian? You know, and I've been asked that many, many times. People saw me post on Facebook and then they will ask me, Pastor John, why do you like to eat durian? You know, my answer is this, how do I know? I only know that I like to eat durian. And I don't like to eat vegetable. No, why? I don't know. Like it, you like it. Don't like it, you don't like it. It is that simple. No, brothers and sisters, what had God been asking you to do lately? Church, this is the first message of the year for you. I'm asking a very simple but profound question. Lately, what has God been asking you to do? Not 10 years ago, not 3 years ago, not when you were young, energetic and free. Lately, this year. So please turn with me to your Bible, looking at the book of Jonah in the Old Testament. The book of Jonah in the Old Testament. Another new resolution you can do is bring your hard copy Bible to church. That's Pastor John. Everywhere I go, I tell people, bring your hard copy to Bible to the church, especially on Sunday service. I don't accept handphone Bible. You know, once I let you open your handphone, I do not know what you are looking at now. Okay? Hard copy Bible, looking at the Bible at Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Let us see what God is asking Jonah to do. Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 to 2. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness had come up before me. In these two verses, we can clearly see what God is asking Jonah to do. Do what? Number one, arise, ni chi lai. This is missing in the English translation. Number two, go to the city of Nineveh. And then number three, preach against it. Why? Because its wickedness had come up before me. No, it's that simple. Arise, go, preach. That's all. No long explanation, no PowerPoint slides, no seminars, no theological degree required. Very simple instruction. You don't need Hebrews and Greek to understand this. You don't need to go to the seminary to understand this. Very simple instruction. Therefore, number one, that we all need to know is that God's word is simple. God's instruction is simple. Look at the text again. Arise, go to the great city of Nineveh, preach against it. Is it clear? Was God unclear with Jonah? No. Was God confusing? No. Even if you are uneducated, it should be clear enough for you to understand. When I was in school, I was not a bright student, and yet I could still understand this word. No, most of you know my testimony. When I was in school, I actually came out last in class. 44 out of 44. Any one of you have been last in class before, please raise your hand. If you are last in class, God is calling you to go full time. Therefore, point number two that we all need to know is that God's word is clear. Clear. Very often, we are the one who make it complicated. Very often, we complicate what God has made simple and clear. We say, God, can you explain more? God, can you confirm again? God, can you show me another sign? But God has already spoken. In the book of Jonah, we see that in Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, God gave Jonah a mission. Arise, go to Nineveh, preach to them. A very simple commission. It's very clear. What God wanted from Jonah was obedient to this commission. Did he obey? Arise, he obeyed. Go to the great city of Nineveh. He went to another place. He went to Tarshish, in the opposite direction. Preach to them. He did not obey. A very simple commission, very clear, but Jonah did not obey. No, church, the problem here is not clarity. The problem here is obedience. Very clear instruction, very clear calling, but Jonah did not obey. Now let's look at the calling of Paul in the New Testament. Acts chapter 9, verse 6. Now get up and go into the city and you will be told what you must do. What did God ask Paul to do? Number one, get up. Number two, go into the city. Number three, you will be told what you must do. Simple. It is simple. Get up, go, and you will be told. Very simple instruction. Is it clear? It's clear. Get up, go, and you will be told. A very simple commission. Very clear. So we have two men here. One in the Old Testament, Jonah. One in the New Testament here, Paul. Both receive a clear calling. Both receive a simple instruction. Both knew exactly what God was asking them to do. For Jonah, God said, arise, go, preach. Jonah arose, but he went to the opposite direction and he refused to preach. Jonah ran away from God's calling. And then Paul, God said, get up, go into the city. Paul got up, Paul went, and Paul waited to be told what to do. Paul submitted to God's calling. You know, Paul could have easily argued, God, I am blind. You know, I need time. I'm really tired. God, I got a lot of work to do, lot of assignment to do. But Paul obeyed. Jonah ran. Paul surrender. You know, same God. Clear instruction. Different responses. So the issue here is not that God's word is unclear. The issue here is not that God's instruction is complicated. The real issue here is, will we obey? You know, many of us would say, God, make it clearer, please. God, please show me more. God, tell me the next step. But God is saying, you already know what to do. Will you obey? So let me ask you again, not about 10 years ago, not about 3 years ago, but lately, what has God been asking you to do? And more importantly, will you obey? You know, church, obedience is not about understanding everything. Obedience is about trusting God enough to take the next step. You know, there are lessons that we need to know from these two persons, Jonah and Paul. One, partial obedience is disobedient. Jonah obeyed part of God's instruction. He arose, but he went to the wrong place. He went to Tarshish. Now, church, partial obedience is still disobedient. Some of us will say, God, I will serve, but not here. God, I will obey, but not now. God, I will forgive, but surely not that person. We want to obey God our way, not God's way. But delay obedience and selective obedience is still disobedient. And also, too, God usually shows the next step, not the full plan. Notice that what God said to Paul here, you will be told what you must do. No, God did not tell Paul everything at once. No, church, many of us want the full plan. We want everything. We want the full map. We want the full guarantee. But God often say, take the first step. Then I will show you the next step. Faith is not about knowing the whole journey. Faith is about obeying the next instruction. So church, let me make it practical for you. God is asking some of you to do. Now, I love to kiss, you know, my synonym that I always use in my preaching. Keep it short and simple. Okay? It's simple for you to understand. It's practical for you to understand as well. What God is asking some of you to do. Put him first. Very simple instruction. Very clear. You do not need anyone to explain to you. The question is, are you putting God first? And sadly today, many Christian parents are putting their children first above God. They plan their children tuition classes, their swimming lesson, their music class, and many other activities, especially on Sunday morning. And in so doing, they choose to skip church. Brothers and sisters, church, Children are a blessing from God, but they are not God. When we put our children above God, we are unknowingly teaching them one lesson. God is optional. And then two, put the handphone first. This is something that every one of us must learn and listen again. Everywhere we go, we must bring our handphone along, even when we go inside the toilet. We can lose everything, including our Bible, but not the handphone. We can leave our Bible at home on Sunday, but not the handphone. Not many years ago, I conducted a funeral of a young boy, aged 19 years old. Someone wanted to rob him and to take his handphone. He refused to hand over his handphone. You know what happened? He was stabbed to death. So sad. I conducted his funeral. So sad to give away his life for the sake of his handphone. Brothers and sisters, are you putting God first? God or children? God or your handphone? Or maybe some of you, God may be asking you to honor your parents, your father and mother. Again, it's so simple instruction. It's so clear. And you do not need anyone to explain to you. The question is, are you honoring your parents? Showing them respect? Showing them love? Showing them obedience? Showing them care? Not just in words, but through your action and attitude. God tells us to honor our parents, our father, our mother, not because they are good, not because they don't punish us, not because they give us pocket money, not because they pay attention to us, not because they buy us the latest handphone. God tells us to honor them because they are our parents. Is that what God is telling you to do? You know, I have a Christian friend who told me this so sadly. Pastor John, I cannot forgive my mother. He said this to me. And he said, you do not know how bad what she did. She is so wicked. Pastor John, she is so bad. And I don't want to see her. And even if she died, please don't inform me because I don't want to see her. Now, when I heard it, I was so sad. And then another Christian brother refused to attend his mother's funeral. So sad. Brothers and sisters, are you honoring your father and your mother? This is not what Pastor John is asking you to do. This is God's simple and clear instruction. Do not forsake your parents when they are old. Do not despise them when they are old. Stand up in the presence of the age, show them respect. Honor our parents is not optional. This is God's simple and clear instruction. Or maybe God may be asking some of you to repent from your hidden sin. Very simple instruction is so clear. And sometimes your hidden sin in your heart, things that you do when no one is watching, and it could be anger, it could be bitterness, it can be envy, it can be gossip, it can be something that we try to justify ourselves. Or it could even be hypocrisy in church. Outwardly, you come to church every Sunday morning, you sing, you pray, you give your offering, and you appear spiritual and godly to everyone around you, but inwardly on the Monday and the Tuesday and the Wednesday and the Thursday and the Friday and the Saturday, you live differently when no one is watching. And it could also be people who serve in the church, smiles and greet people on Sunday, post Bible verses on social media, and even volunteer in ministry. But behind closed door, that person is criticizing the pastor preaching. That person is criticizing the worship leader. He's holding grudges and he's refusing to forgive. I'll say this also. Even pastors, preachers, and leaders are not exempted. Pastors, leaders, and preachers, because they stand behind the pulpit, they expect members to do what they tell them to do. but don't do themselves. They preach on tithing, but they themselves don't tithe. They preach on forgiveness, but have bitterness and unforgiving spirit. God's instruction is simple. Acknowledge it, don't hide it, confess it, tell God honestly, repent and turn from it and walk in His ways. Very simple instruction, very clear. Matthew 23:28 say, in the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Church, God wants authentic obedience, not for show. Our hidden sin cannot be hidden from God. God is not asking for a complicated ritual. He's asking for repentance. To turn away from that sin, to turn back to Him. Or God may be asking some of you to obey Him in your finances. Now, very simple instruction again, very clear. Malachi chapter 3 verse 10, bring the whole tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgate of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. You know, you have been Christian for so many years. Some of you maybe have been Christian longer than Pastor John for 50 over years. But yet, you are not obeying this simple and clear instruction. Why? Because you are struggling with fear. That when the moment you give your tithe, you are thinking that you will be left with too little. Or you are too emotionally attached to what you have. You just cannot give away the money. Especially to God. When no one is watching, only God knows. Why would I care? And you are unable to let go. To step out in faith. Brothers and sisters, tithing isn't just a rule or a law. It is a way of honoring God as Lord of all. Or God may be asking some of you to obey the 9th commandment. Do not lie. Simple instruction. Very clear. You do not need Pastor John to explain to you. And I think among the 10 commandments, I preached the 10 commandments in the Mandarin service this morning. And I think among the 10 commandments, this is the biggest sin. Serious. Out of the 10 commandments, this is the biggest sin. Do you agree? Why? Because today many, 很多人全部, people lie. Including Christian. Who had not lied before? Please raise your hand. I hope no one, okay? If you raise hand, then you have committed a lie. You say just a little lie won't hurt. You know, we say what? 讲少少大话不会伤害到人. We lie to get a job. We lie to avoid getting caught. Why are you late? Because my son is sick, Lord Pastor John. Why are you not on time for church service? Because I cannot find place to park my car, Lord. Why are you speeding? Because I have stomachache. No, do not lie. God may be asking some of you to speak to someone about Jesus Christ. Very simple instruction, very clear. Why the struggle? Why? Even though speaking to someone about Jesus Christ is simple, many Christians hesitate because of fear of rejection, worried that they'll be judged, they'll be ignored and laughed at when they share the gospel. Lack of confidence, unsure what to say or how to explain the faith or comfort zone. It's so easy to stay quiet when speaking up might feel uncomfortable. Brothers and sisters, God through the Bible repeatedly call on us believers to share the good news in ordinary way. We are to be God's witnesses, to talk to people, to pray for them, to tell them about Jesus Christ. Remember this, sometimes God is waiting for you to just speak one word that one word can change your life. Lately, or lastly, maybe I just add just one more. God may be asking some of you, including Pastor John, to have self-discipline. To discipline our body in the area of eating and drinking and exercise. You know, the Bible passage tells us what? Do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. It's in the Bible. Is our body a temple? If our body is a temple of God, God is actually essentially asking us to look after our body. And how do we look after our body? We honor Him with our action. Avoid behavior that harm our body. Whether it is addiction, whether it is gluttony, whether it is sexual immorality, or whether it is lack of sleep. No, live in integrity and self-control. Then to take care of our health, eat well, exercise. I know this is a reminder to Pastor John as well. Rest, avoid excesses. Spiritual health and physical health are interconnected. Then guard our thoughts and our speech. Temples aren't just physical. They are also about our mind, it's about our spirit. Avoid negativity, hatred, and unwholesome talk. And then use our bodies to serve God. Serve others. Give generously. Work diligently. Our hands, our feet, and our voice can be an instrument for God's purposes. Very clear, simple instruction. God is asking us to obey. Brothers and sisters, God's instruction for us to obey is not mysterious. God's word is simple. God's word is clear. The real question for us is not, do we know? The real question is, will we obey? And so I ask you one more time. Lately, what has God been asking you to do? And more importantly, would you obey Him this year? The book of James chapter 1 verse 22 says, do not merely listen to the word, do what it says. 就是你们要行道,不要单单听道。这是你要行道,不要单单听道。 You know, the Bible in John chapter 14, 15 say, if you love me, keep my commandment. Lately, brothers and sisters, what has God been asking you to do? Pray and ask God to speak to you. And as a church, let's just step out that touch people's life, that touch people's faith, that touch people's action by our daily life. You know, God isn't asking for perfection. No, Pastor John is not scolding you. You know, oftentimes in the main church, people say, Pastor John just love to scold people. But they love to come back to hear me preach again. Okay? I'm not scolding you. I'm just telling you. Think. What is God asking you to do? He's not asking for perfection. He's just asking for faithful obedience. One step at a time. And so as you reflect on this, ask yourself honestly, lately, God, what have you been asking me to do? This year, God, what do you want me to do? Will you act on it? Will you say yes and obey? So in closing, let us just end with this song, Trust and Obey, as the musician come up to lead us in this song. I'd just like us to sing the first stanza again. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory that He shed on our way. And while we do His good will, He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Can we have the song Trust and Obey up on the screen again as we end with this song, just the first stanza before we have our offering. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, What a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He'll abide in us still. And with all who will trust and obey, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Lord, You are just speaking Your word to us, to ask us, to challenge us to trust and obey. Lord, Your word is clear, it's simple. You have spoken. You have asking us to do something this year. Lord, You have spoken to every individual here, whatever that, Lord, You have spoken. Maybe what I have mentioned in the sermon may also be some that are not mentioned in the sermon. We are hearing Your word clear, and it has been simple for us to obey. But will we obey? Will we trust and obey? Give us that courage. Give us that boldness. Help us to obey, we pray. Thank You for Your word, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.